Hey guys, Coach Christy here. I have not recorded a podcast in quite a little while. I've gotten some messages and emails from folks thanking me for the podcasts I have created. So I've been being more conscious and aware of the stuff I'm working on and what's rattling around in my brain in regards to my horsemanship and things like that. And one of the things that really leaves a bit of a niggle in my brain is the concept of leadership and also the concept of respect. So, the word respect is a word that Pat Pirelli, my mentor, one of my mentors, clearly defines as a horse's ability to appropriately respond to pressure. And that if we expect our horses to respond to pressure appropriately, then it's our responsibility to apply pressure appropriately. And when it comes to leadership, the leader is the one with the plan, is how Linda Pirelli will say that. And for me, that's been a journey of wanting to understand or feel good that the kind of leader I am for my horses and in any other context is effective, but also compassionate. That I have the ability to guide someone, a horse or human, towards their goals, but without imposing my goals on them. And it's been a really difficult and confusing journey for me, to be quite honest. I am definitely one of those little girls who would have been called bossy, right? Growing up, in my circle of friends would often be the one who would come up with the plan, the game for us to play or that sort of thing. And it wouldn't have been unusual for me to be called bossy, although I did have friends who were more bossy than me, so I wasn't always the most dominant member of the circle of friends I played with when I was a kid. My family situation, I think, affected that a great deal. Had I had parents who, made me feel safe at home and that I was loved no matter what, and, hadn't generated, early, pain around abandonment, I probably would have been a lot more bossy. But I really feel like we should stop calling little girls bossy and, instead, point out to them that they have leadership qualities. Now, that being said, we don't want to create little ego monsters either, and also help them to be compassionate and empathetic as well as good leaders. So that's really what my whole life has been about, has first been about, it taking me the first 30 years of my life to realize that some people find me intimidating. I didn't know that. I really, really didn't. And I know, some of you that knew me in my teens and 20s are gonna think that that's hard to believe, but I give you my word. Like, I really had no idea that, my tendency towards, commitment to an outcome, I would like to believe that I have a good ability to, see a goal and see a team of people and be able to direct people into accomplishing that goal. Now, it might be at the expense of their confidence or their ability to like me very well, but but I could always get the job done. Like, everywhere that I worked as a teenager and in my 20s, I was often in an unofficial leadership role. Even when I was on faculty, I was told by another, higher ranking instructor that I was a leader on the faculty team, and I pointed out to him that I was not, right? That I was not the faculty team leader, was not an advisor or mentor of any sort. And he said that just because I didn't have a title didn't mean that I wasn't one of the leaders. And so it really took me a long time to process that out. And so I think what it boils down to is that the type of energy that I emit affects others. It's, I have influence on other people, and some people are happy for that, and others resent and resist it. And that's okay. There's no right or wrong answer. But I'm 45 years old, and it's been at least 15 years of trying to reconcile the paradox between compassion and empathy and, you know, the one with the plan. So, you know, this podcast is going to be a little bit, you know, messy because I don't really still have it all hashed out. So in horses, the goal really is to counter condition prey animal behavior, is my opinion, right? That what we're looking for is a partnership with an animal whose instincts tell them there's no reason for us to be partners, right? They're prey animals and we're predators. They have long bodies, we have tall bodies. You know, they graze, we, you know, eat meat. So there's everything about us biologically really should have us working on opposite sides of the court there. But to get our horses to consider acting like a partner and seeking harmony with us is a very involved process, right? So for me personally, that process really is the Pirelli levels pathway, right? You know, my brain is a systematic kind of thinker, so I like systems and strategies that are reproducible, right? And that's why I love the Pirelli program. The levels pathway is a systematic approach to counter conditioning prey animal behavior through the 7 games in all 5 zones, in all 4 savvies, being able to be communicated in a pleasing way, all right? So without pressure, using communication versus just pressure to manipulate their bodies. And that process is, you know, full of struggle and strife, but also, you know, joy and success and accomplishment as well. But so I've gotten quite a lot of emails and communication from students lately about, you know, what do I do if I ask my horse to do something and they refuse, right? And oftentimes the refusal seems to be coming out of dominance, but it doesn't really matter, right? What I think I'm coming to right now at this stage on August 18th, 2020, in these crazy times, right? That for now, my focus and ability to reconcile the paradox between compassion and leadership and empathy and leadership is that clarity is kind. And I really do believe that horses want to get along. I also believe that harmony feels good, right? That we're all just seeking happiness and joy. Like we're trying to find, you know, the best way, the most efficient way to feel happy and to feel joyful. And harmony does that. You know, if you've ever had that perfect ride on a horse or that perfect trail ride or that perfect liberty session where it just flowed, I believe that joy that you feel when that happens, the horse feels too. And because they're domestic animals and we've taken every purpose that Mother Nature has given them away, then it's our job to enrich their lives with that experience, right? To give them the ability to experience that kind of joy. And, you know, Mother Nature tells them to seek out water and better grazing and salts and minerals and procreate and all those good things. Well, we provide all of those things. We provide the water, we provide the grazing and the salts and the minerals, and we decide who procreates with who. So they really lack purpose and direction in their life. And I feel like the best purpose we can provide them is learning, right? To expand their nervous system beyond what Mother Nature had in mind or what Mother Nature gave them at birth. Maybe not what she had in mind, but at least what she gave them at birth. And the same for us, that we're capable of more than just barking orders, or we're capable of more than getting frustrated or angry or feeling like failures and that sort of thing. That joy and happiness can become a habit, but it has to be trained, and training it can be systematic. So my answer to those students who ask me, what do I do when my horse refuses? The answer is, first, do not accept a refusal. In the moment, they must yield, all right? It has to happen. You have to get some kind of even just tiny bit of yield to build on. The pathway to harmony with horses is paved with yields, right? If your horse does not yield to your personal space, if they don't yield to your leg, if they don't yield to your decision-making, harmony is not possible. And the way for now that I'm going to decide to be okay with that, you know, it feels a little like I'm imposing my will on my horses when I do that, but the way I'm going to reconcile that for right now is, in exchange for them yielding to me, it is my responsibility then to make sure that I ask for yields from them that make sense, that have a purpose, and that when performed well, should feel good. So the purpose of the yields is to grow the nervous system. And when the yields are happening with lightness and I can start putting them together in a fluid and entertaining sequence, then we will both experience joy in those moments. So those of you who have a horse that refuses, don't let them. You have to bite them, right? That's what they would do to each other. Mama would give that little baby a nip that says, hey, stay with me, synchronize with me so that you can stay safe and help continue to pass on our genetic line and ensures survival of the species for baby to synchronize with mama. Where I think it ensures survival of our consciousness. If we can learn to know when to yield and know when to be the one asking for the yield, and that harmony feels good to all of us. We're social species and we thrive in groups, and it's extra magical when we can harmonize with an animal who's of a different, not just a different species, but an opposite species. So I'm not sure what you got out of that ramble there, guys. I would love it if you got something out of it. If you liked, shared, rated, reviewed, depending on what platform you're listening to me on, copy the link and put it on your social media pages. That would be amazing. And at the end of the day, no matter where you are in the world, I hope that you can make it a great day. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll talk to you again the next time I have something to say. Coach Christy out.